Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Rudebush. I want to welcome you here to First United Methodist Church. We especially want to welcome those who are watching us via live stream. And the Connect card that you can fill out on live stream is in the right-hand corner. We hope that you will fill that out and let us know of your presence in worship with us today. Also, the flowers on the altar are in memory of Bonnie Laughlin, whose funeral service we held here and in our church on Monday, and so we want to remember her family and grateful for the gift of those flowers. Also, we want to remind you that the prayer cards are in the pews. If there are specific prayer concern or joy you'd like to lift up, ushers will be coming around to pick those up during our music time after our call to worship. Also, you've noted that we're trying out for about 4 weeks a different format for a bulletin, so we'll kind of evaluate it after that, and just a good way to maybe look at some other ways of making sure we get and communicate with all our membership. We're gathered here also to, there are school bags available, a part of our in-gathering mission process, so they're on the aisles, so if you want to pick those up, there's all instructions of what you need are in them, and then you can just bring them back as a part of the process of our in-gathering mission giving through the larger church. Also, the men's season opener, they're selling tickets in the hallway, so you should pick those up. I know they would like you to get those sooner so they know how much food to have ready for that event. Also, we're having a charge conference on the 22nd to discuss some financing for our construction project. As you can tell, our chapel is getting close and completed, and they'll be moving down into the round table room, so we're just having our business meeting to approve that bridge financing. Lastly, we wanted at our earlier service, we recognized Bev Getson. She has been preparing communion for the past 18 years, and so she's retiring from that position, and I figure after 18 years, you can retire. So that means the next person who gets it will go 20 years. So, you know, whoever's interested in that long-term commitment, no, I'm just kind of kidding about that. But we do are looking for someone who helps us to prepare the communion each week. And so if you're interested in that, have a sense of call to that, let us know about that. We do exist here to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And the way that we do that is to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. And so now we share in our video announcement.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church. We're so excited to have you with us for worship today. Here's a few of the opportunities coming up at First. For the last few years, we've been blessed to partner with Samaritan's Feet. During this event, students from Lowell and Hawthorne experienced the love of God through having their feet washed and given a new pair of shoes and socks. So many people have been touched by this ministry, and we want you to get involved. Your opportunity to serve is Saturday, August 19th, from 9 a.m. to noon. We're also in need of $1,000 in order to reach our goal for this project. So stop at the Information Center after the service to get signed up. Our mission of the month for August is Habitat for Humanity. Every second Saturday of the month, our Habitat Build team gathers to build a house for someone in need. No previous experience is needed, but a willing heart and good attitude are always a plus. The next build day is Saturday, August 12th. Use your Connect card to get signed up. You can also make a special donation using the offering envelope and also be in prayer as we partner with this organization to serve the community of Sioux Falls. You may have noticed the news and events looks a little different this week. It's full of events and opportunities coming up at First. The worship orders are listed on the insert. And whenever an item has a cross next to it, we invite you to turn your attention to the screens for the liturgy. And your Connect card is now inside of your news and events. So when it falls out, fill it out. Later on in the service, place it in the offering basket so we can help you get plugged in here at First. Now, I invite everyone to stand and share in community by saying hello to those you're worshiping with today.
remain standing as we share in our call to worship together that is on the screen. Will you join me? God calls us to a feast. The table is set, and we will come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at Christ's table. Compassion, love, and grace are poured out like fine wine. We come to share our stories and your story, to share our hope and our pain, to share our wisdom and our laughter. The table is set, so come, let us worship God together. We pray. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this new day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather as your people and worship. Be with us in our singing. Be with us in our time of prayer. Receive and accept the offerings that we offer to you to this day. Equip us to truly be in your witnesses in the world. So surround us and bless us in our worship today. For all of God's people said, amen.
Please remain standing and join in our first selection, The Church's One Foundation, followed by 10,000 Reasons.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As you heard in the video, our mission of the month is Habitat for Humanity. We have a group of folks from our church that work every second Saturday. So if you're interested in helping them out, Doug Claringa is the lead person with that. So be in contact with him or contact the church office. Or on your Connect card, if you put an X by it, we'll make sure and follow up with you. I think they do it next Saturday, right, Bruce? I saw your picture up there, so I knew you were in that group. So anyway, next Saturday they're meeting, and you can ask Bruce some questions, too, after the service. So anyway, also, we have our great opportunity to give back to God, as God has offered all that we have to us. And so we now ask that the ushers would wait upon us as we give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts to God. And the praise band will lead us in our offering song, Every Giant Will Fall. Pray together. Oh, holy and loving God, we gather as your people this day. We thank you that you are the body, that we are the body of Christ this day, that your body is what we celebrate and gather together to worship. We ask and invite your Spirit to help us in our journeys of teaching, of healing, of seeking the least, the last, and the lost. God, we are mindful of many needs in our hearts this day. We offer to you these persons who we know need your healing touch. There's also names in our hearts and minds. We remember Linda and Kyle and his family, the family of Louise Smith, of Jody, and of Bernie. We pray that your healing touch would be with each of these families, that you would bring your strength and your care and your love. Lord, we are the gathered people this day to worship you, to give you praise, to offer to you the humble requests of our hearts. But we also gather to experience you new and afresh, that we may truly be not only a church gathered for worship, but a church scattered to bear witness to the power of your love in our lives, to those who need to experience your blessing. So Lord, inspire us, guide us, help us to know the ways that we are truly to be your servants in the world. For you have called us and you send us forth. We are grateful for all that you have given us this day. And so we now ask and offer to you the prayers of our hearts in the ways that you taught your disciples. We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We remind you today that we are starting a new sermon series called I Love My Church. And part of that series is looking at not only the church universal, that's what we're looking at today, but we'll also be looking at what does it mean to be a United Methodist church, and then also looking at what God or Jesus had in mind for local communities and local gatherings, and then ultimately looking at our congregation and the ways that what does it mean to be the church. We will read our scripture today. It comes from first the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. It's chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know which is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, for the power of the gift of prayer, for the recognition and reminder of Jesus is the one who we worship and who we live in, who lives in the midst of us as the body. So bless us in the hearing of your word this day. May you speak to us. May you touch us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the questions we often hear from children is, does Jesus go to church? Did Jesus go to church? Well, now, Jesus' church wasn't much like, kind of like our church. In some ways, it's similar. When we look in the Old Testament, we look at church, oftentimes we relate it to worship, because that's kind of the major activity that we do as a community of faith, as the body of Christ. We gather to worship. So if you look in the Old Testament, Moses and David, and also all of the Psalms, there are many Psalms that indicate that a community of people gather together to give worship and praise to God. Now, in Jesus, the question, answering the question about Jesus, did he go to church? After the Babylonian exile, when the people of Israel were taken into captivity and were prisoners, they weren't near the temple anymore to do worship. And so the solution was brought up that, well, what we'll do is just form neighborhood groups and we'll call it a synagogue. And the synagogue was a house of prayer. And so then Jews would gather together each week to worship and to pray together and to hear the scriptures. Hence, Jesus did go to church. He and the disciples would go weekly to synagogue, and there they would share in worship and teaching and listening to God's word. Now, you remember in Luke chapter 4, there's a story where Jesus got up and he was the lectern reader of the day, and he read a particular scripture from Isaiah that talked about one who was coming. And then, of course, at the end of the reading, he said, and I am the one who has been talked about in this prophecy. And so he announced that to the group, and that didn't go over real well in his hometown, and so he was kind of almost run off in a cliff. So obviously, church was not always an easy experience sometimes, especially for Jesus. But in Matthew, we see two places where the word church is used, and it's used in two settings. Jesus is at Caesarea Philippi. He asks the question of the disciples, who do the people say that I am? And some say, oh, they believe you're Elijah. Some believe you're another prophet. And Peter says, no, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And, of course, Jesus is congratulates him on that recognition. And then he later says in this passage, and Peter, you are going to be the rock on which I build my church. So the idea of church, the beginning thought of church that we know beyond the synagogue, came in that exchange with Peter and Jesus. Later in chapter 18, there's the other time that it's talked about the word church. Ecclesia is the Greek word. And the church there is about between two members. If a church member has something against another church member, they're supposed to come to the gathering and to share their confession with one another and forgive one another, and hence become reconciled. The experience of the church. Did Jesus go to church? Yes, he did. The gathering of God's people was important and has always been important of when we gather to worship. And Jesus, as you look at his life, Jesus was one who taught as a rabbi. He also healed. He brought healing to people's lives. And of course, he always was seeking the least, the last, and the lost. Now, if we're really honest with ourselves, when we think of the word church, see, now I just said the word, so I wonder what you all are thinking. I'm imagining you're thinking a building. That's what we think, right? When we say the word church, our thought usually goes right away to a building. Might be obviously this building, or it could be some other buildings, but I think there's a slide that shows here. I don't know, Cheryl, if you're pushing that one forward. Yeah, the church is not a building, because oftentimes that's what we think. The church is a building. But in all reality, in our passages today, the church is more than a building. It's more than a building. Now, the building is where we gather. And sometimes we have a lot of special gatherings and places where we experience God in this place. But the church, it's not a building. Now, there was a man who built a stone church like this in Europe. And when he designed it, he got it built, and everything was wonderful. They opened it up, and people started coming to the church, but they noticed that there wasn't any lights in it. It was dark. And the man who had the church built said, well, that's the reason is, did you notice all the hooks along the side of the church? And he handed out a lamp to every family and said, now, the way that we're going to light this church when we worship is that you got to come. And you got to bring your lamp, and you got to hang it by where you sit. And I suppose you got your own special pew, like many of you have. You know, you have your special pew where... And so he was saying, you know, you got to light it, and if you're not there, there's going to be a part of the church that's dark. Fascinating way to think about what does it mean to be the body gathered in worship together. The church is not a building. In fact, the words that we talked earlier about, when we use the word church in the New Testament, when Jesus used that word, it's defined being called out, being called forth, being sent. In essence, saying that in and through the death and resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus is the church. That Jesus is the church. Jesus is the one who is the living embodiment of what it means to be the community of faith. The term that Paul uses later in that passage, in verses 22 and 23, is that the church is the body of Christ. And I would add, the living body. It's just not like Jesus, you know, rose from the dead and that's the end. Jesus' idea or thought was that Jesus' life would continue in and through each one of us as the body of Christ. As the body offered ourselves in the spirit of Jesus, living as Jesus has called us to live, following in the ways that Jesus taught. If we look at Jesus' life, that's how we're to be the church. Jesus was a teacher, and so we gather not only to learn about what does it mean to be in relationship with God, but we are also called to teach others. What does it mean to experience God in your life? We notice in the Gospels that Jesus was one who healed people and their physical ailments. We're also called as the body to be, as the church, healers. If you noticed, many hospitals were started by people of faith. Not only hospitals, but other ways of encouraging and bringing healing to people's lives. And lastly, Paul points to that the spiritual power of the church comes in recognizing that Jesus is the one who is the embodiment of the church. And if Jesus is the spiritual power, we gather to worship, to experience that power, so that we truly are the church, not just in this place, but we're the church every day. We, each individually, are the church as the people of God, out in mission, in and through our work, through the people we come in contact with. That is where we experience and live out the meaning of the church, of being the body of Christ in the world. I went to the movie Dunkirk, and I was just overwhelmed again by this small group of people who heard the call, you know, because the troops were, stranded on the beaches of France, and who comes to rescue these ordinary, everyday folks with these small little boats? Reminds me of a story of another ship that overturned over the coast of England, and there was near a small village. And again, the small little boats went out to rescue people, and it was getting dark. They were counting kind of who was on the ship, and they knew that they were missing one person, and so a local person wanted to go back out and get that last person, and the mother of this man, the sailor, said, "Don't go out. It's dangerous. It's dark. You're not going to be able to find him. Let him go." And And the sailor said, no, I got to go. And so he goes out. And after a long while, he comes back. And he has found the missing person. And it turned out that missing person was his brother. He knew his brother was on that vessel. In essence, Jesus, I think, calls us as the body of Christ to follow in the ways that Jesus lived life in his teaching of the disciples. That we're to be not only people who receive teaching from the church, but we are teachers of the ways of Christ in and through our lives, in the ways that we speak to others, in the ways that we tell the stories of faith. We're not only persons who come to gather and lift up our own prayers, but we are people of prayer in our everyday lives with the people we meet. A way to do that is if someone says, tells you a story about some healing that needs to be happening in their lives, pray for them right there. Don't just say, well, I'll pray for you. Pray for them. Actually, put your hand on them and pray with them. That's being the church. Hensing that the spiritual power of being the body of Christ. And Paul kind of wraps it up by saying, in all of the fullness of Christ. He loves the image that Jesus is the head. For me, I think Jesus is the head, the brains, and also the heart of what that word of the church means, the body of Christ. And so when we think of the word church, I hope that you would move beyond a building and think about the people. Or think about the gift of Jesus in your life. When you hear the word church, thinking that Jesus, we are the body of Christ. We are the living body of Christ in the world. The universal church, worldwide. It's not just about Methodists or Lutherans or Reforms or whatever brand we hear. But today I hope we hear that all Christians are to be engaged in the community of faith called the church. The community of faith, the body of Christ. The body of Christ living out our call to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. The kids were gathered to play and they said, what should we play? And so they said, let's play church. So they divided up all the tasks, you know. Somebody was the usher, somebody was a greeter, somebody, had gathered up the offering plates, and somebody else was the pastor in front, and so somebody had to be the pianist. So they played church. Well, they got a little tired of playing church, and so then one of the boys said, what should we play now? And one said, let's play Jesus. Jesus? How do you play Jesus? Well, one of us is going to be Jesus, which that's kind of a cool part, you'd think. And then the rest of us, we're going to kind of do the crucifixion scene, you know, when Jesus dies. And so we're going to take Jesus, and we get to, you know, yell, crucify him, and we get to spit on him, and then we're going to haul him over to a tree, and we're going to tie him to it, and that's how we're going to play Jesus. Well, they're all pretty skeptical at this point, because who really wants to play Jesus in this kind of scenario? But one boy said he'd be Jesus. And so then they started, and it kind of did that whole kind of crucifixion. And they got him over to the tree, and they were ready to tie him up. And he finally said, let's stop. I don't want to play Jesus anymore. Let's go back to playing church. Let's go back to playing church. Sometimes in our journeys of life, when we think of the word church, it's not just playing church. It's a gathered community of people being the church, being the body of Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. May it be so in our lives as we gather for communion today. That is a very great picture of what does it mean to be the church. We are fueled by the very offering of Jesus' life to be the body of Christ. Let us pray. God, you call us forth to be your body, to be your people, to be in mission and ministry and teaching and healing and to seeking the least, the last, and the lost. Equip us today that we may truly be your hands and feet in the world. Help us to be the church. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. We're fortunate today to have as our gift of music Sue Imperiums, the barbershop chorus, and so we're going to invite them forward at this time as they're going to share with us their gift of music.
Glory land that outshines the sun way beyond.
We gather as the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, we gather not only to experience and sense God's Spirit moving in the gift of music, in the power of the Word, in the transformation of our lives. On the night when Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, and after he had given thanks to God, he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup, and after he'd given thanks to God, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, in God's mighty acts of salvation, in and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we share in the mystery of the power of Jesus forming us as his body, as his disciples, as his people. And so every time we gather to eat this meal is a transforming experience of allowing God's healing presence to touch our lives, but also, as we had said earlier, to be called forth, to be sent forth as God's disciples in the world. Let us pray. God, these common gifts of bread and grapes, help it be for us your body that transforms our community of faith to experience and to know the church universal, that we may truly be your servants and disciples in the world. Bless these gifts with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we who receive them would be equipped and filled by the love, by your love. Bless us in our sharing together, for we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. United Methodist Church, our communion is open to all who want to come and experience the gift of Christ's love in our hearts and lives. We have gluten-free bread to my right, to your left. And so if you need that, we invite you to kind of move over that direction and receive the gluten-free bread there. We will have servers of both the bread and the juice at each of these sides. The ushers will help us and assist us in sharing in this communion. We invite you to come by the outside aisles. If you're able to kneel, we invite you to stay a time in prayer at the railing, and then return to your seats by the center aisle. Those in the balcony, we invite you to come down and experience communion with us together. We share in the music and the gifts of songs. We'll sing our one communion hymn, and then the band will lead us in our other song as well. So we ask those who are going to assist to come forward at this time, and we will share in Holy Communion together. Table is set. We invite you to come.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your
you're not too
Let us share in our prayer of thanksgiving. Will you join me as we pray? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Because the broken bread has meant our healing, because the outpoured cup has meant our life, because our common sharing has meant the communion of our souls, through the power of the Spirit, we give you thanks. Holy Spirit, we have graced by your presence. We pray that our lives may be renewed in the life and love and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. We invite you to stand as we share in our sending forth. Will you hold it here? We're gonna say this verse and then we're gonna sing, all right? Hold on here. So let us share together. We go out into the world, and in our words and in our lives, we bear witness to the Christ who has ascended to be the church everywhere and present. And as we come to know Jesus, may God give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. May Christ Jesus lift up his hands and bless each of us. And may the Spirit open to us all the riches of Christ's inheritance. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Jesus. We go as Spirit-filled disciples to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. Amen. So now I think we're going to sing this piece, and then the barbershoppers are going to share with us again.